You know, this is going to be something kind of a little bit strange for me because I've got your pastor sitting right here on the front row. And to me, I mean, he looks amazingly well, doesn't he, to you? But then again, him and I know that sometimes pastors need to be fed too. And see, I wasn't really sure that he would be here today. So I geared my message around what God had placed on my heart. And so, Pastor, if this walks on your toes, and here in a week or two when you come up on Thanksgiving weekend, oh well. You should have been here to protect your territory.
Amen.
Well, everybody, I know it's no surprise to you. Here in a week or so, we're going to have a thing called Thanksgiving Day. And you know, I think that Christians really don't have any problem at all with this day, because we have an awful lot to be thankful for. But let me ask you a little question this morning. What are you thankful for? What are you thankful for this year? Well, my gosh, the list is going to be really long, because maybe it was a prosperous year for you, maybe not. But if it's prosperous, and maybe some of you may have even got a new soulmate, it's hard to say. Some of you may have bought a new house, a new car. Along with that comes with trying to figure out how to pay for it. A new job. But see, what I'm saying is, you've got a lot of things to be thankful for. But the question is, who do you think? Did I say think? Thank. Who do you thank for all these things? Well, some of them, obviously me. Because, I mean, I'm the one that went out and got the job. And I had to interview for it. And I had the technical know-how that they were looking for. I've been to school for all these. See, I have to thank myself for some of these things. And then maybe I ought to thank my investor, because he invested all of my money really well and we had a really good year. So, yeah, I'm going to thank him too. You see, there's a lot of people, or is there, that you can thank. And how do we thank them? Let me tell you a little story. This true story, to give you an idea of thankful. So on a beach at Cape Henry in Virginia, there is a historical marker which reads, Act 1, Scene 1 of the unfolding drama that became the United States. You see, the Department of Interior placed that marker there. And we know the history leading up to that, so we're not really surprised that there is a marker there. But years before the Department of Interior placed this marker, there was another marker set there by Captain John Smith and his crew. Now, there's a name that you recognize, right? Captain John Smith. Well, they had just survived over 4 months of cruel, cold, and dangerous weather conditions. But they arrived at Cape Henry having only lost one member out of all of that. They only lost one member. But, of course, in the journey, they obviously had several that were hurt, and they had a lot more that were sick, but they only had lost one, and they had defied all odds in reaching their destination. But among them was Reverend Robert Hunt, the ship's chaplain, and he and the crewmen erected a cross on that beach in 1607. Now, there had to have been great tears of joy as the Reverend led in a public thanksgiving service, giving thanks to God for their safe delivery and the establishment, of course, of the first permanent settlement in the United States. But out of all this, they're obviously thankful because they created this thing called Thanksgiving, and they gave thanks for God and their safe journey. But you see, all of the things they're giving thanks for are behind them. They were giving thanks after the fact, not before. We need to look at what we're thankful for and how we're thankful for. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful day that you have given us. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have here today to come into your house and to hear your word. And Father, we would ask now that you act in our hearts, that you prepare us for what we're about to receive, that we can apply it to our lives, that Father, we know that you are in this place today. We thank you for your presence. We ask you for your guidance. We ask for your forgiveness for where we have failed you. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Pray everything in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I know that usually you have on the board all of your scriptures and everything that you need to follow along. But because I'm going to be in thankfulness and all the things that we have to be thankful for and looking at the things in the Bible that are thankful for, then I'm going to give you several, but we're just going to be touching on them. And so therefore, I'll give you a list of them. Feel free to write them down, but I'm telling you, God fills His holy word with places and things that we should be and are thankful for. And He was too. John 6:11 and 11:41. Then we will go over to Luke 22:19. Then James 1:17-18. We're going to touch on Hebrews 12:2-3, and then 3 and 4. That's chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. That was kind of repetitious, so I want to make sure you got to the right place. You know, we need to learn to be thankful, maybe in the same way that Jesus was thankful. Was Jesus thankful? Yes, he was. Because if you look in his word, you're going to find several places where Jesus was thankful. Now, I want to read these because you're going to be coming, I'll be coming back to them, and you'll know where I'm at that point. James, here goes that flood in my eyes again. Hold on just a second, because sometimes James looks a whole lot like John when I look down at my notes. John 6:11, Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. You know where he's at. This appeared to me to be a terrific place with Thanksgiving coming up, and we're about to partake of a lot of food, I'm sure. And here is Jesus at the feeding of the 5,000. And in that scripture, it says, Jesus then took the loaves and what? And gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. John 11:41-42. Now we're talking about Jesus and his prayer right before raising Lazarus from the dead. And it says, so they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. Luke 22:19 is Jesus at the Last Supper. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me. James 1:17-18, and this is probably Jesus' older brother speaking here. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the truth, the word of truth. Hebrews 12:2-3 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 3:3-4 says, Jesus has been found worthy of a greater honor than Moses. Just as a builder of a house has a greater honor than the house itself, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Let's go back to the feeding of the 5,000. You see, if we just read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, it's a great story and it's a great truth. But there's a lot of things that we would have the tendency to look over and not see. You see, there are significant truths in the feeding. One of the things, look at who was there. A lot of people, right? A lot of people. And we know that they've been following Jesus, a lot of them to see if he would heal them with a miracle or whatever, but there were a lot of people, and now they're seated and waiting for him. And the truth being, it's pretty obvious there's a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be hungry. They've been traveling all day. They haven't had anything to eat. And somebody probably woke up and said, hey, I'm hungry. You've never done that, have you? I'm hungry. You see, they were beginning to know that they were hungry, and the disciples realized these people are getting hungry, and I'm hungry too. And, oh man, did you remember to bring anything with us? Did you bring the grocery basket? Did somebody bring something to eat? And the disciples knew that they didn't have any food either. And we got a problem. And so the easy way around this, I know what, let's just tell Jesus, tell him go home. And then we won't have to deal with this problem. But you see, one of the other truths is Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he told them, "Whew, man, there's a lot of people here getting hungry. Where can we buy some food for them?" Do you think Jesus already knew the answer? I mean, come on, there wasn't a Safeway out there on the corner. There wasn't some McDonald's they could go get some Happy Meals. There wasn't anything like that. Jesus knew that. He said that to set them up because he knew what they were thinking. And then it goes on because it says, you know, they went through all of this crowd, and boy, they come up with two skinny little old fishes and a couple of loaves of bread that probably yesterday's bread, and it was all crushy and everything. But anyway, that to feed this big crowd, is this possible? No. All of us, I watched you. All of us in this room would have been the same way. Come on. You expect me to feed all of these people with this? Well, let's throw in a truth to that scripture again. Then Jesus thanked God. Thanked him for what? God, you just got me in a terrible pickle here. I'm going to have to figure out. You get this little crumb, and you get a little piece of fish here, and I'm going to try to divide this amongst all of you people, but I know before we even get started, we're going to run out of food long before that. But he didn't. You see, Jesus knew. Jesus thanked God in advance. He didn't know per se exactly how God was going to do that. He just knew that he was. And he knew there's a miracle on the way. And I am going to thank God right now for it because it's coming. When you go out, any of you ever pray for your food when you go out? What do? Pray for bounty, a lot of, filling, great tasting, good. But you see, we like to see lots. God says, I'll give you your needs. They're not the same. There's a big difference between your wants and your needs. We need to understand our God is a provider, but he knows your needs. James 1:17-19. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect comes from above. There's only one above. Our God, our Savior. And our problem is, we live in the United States. Now, there are countries that are a lot poorer than we, and they may be in a lot more touch with this than we are. But we live in a world where, by and large, the pantries are pretty full. And because we have full pantries, it's hard to pray for our daily bread, that which satisfies our daily need. It's hard to do that when you've got so much. I think if we knew beforehand what the blessings that we desire for tomorrow, if they were dependent on our thanksgiving that we're giving today, that it would change everything about what we want tomorrow. Did that make sense? It changes. But you see, what you need to understand today, the scriptures I just told you about with the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus thanked God for meeting the needs of the moment. He thanked God for the needs. Did you? Should you? We should. Secondly, there was a personal relationship in God in His... how do I do this one? John 11:41. Jesus is talking. I thank you that you have heard me. But then I know you have always heard me. There was no doubt in his mind that God hears him. You need to understand that at this moment now, Jesus is praying just before the raising of Lazarus. Who was Lazarus? Lazarus was Jesus' best friend. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus loved him. Lazarus has died. They've contacted Jesus because he's away. And now he has to come. And now he is praying for Lazarus. Do you suppose that God the Father knew who Lazarus was? Did you think for one moment that he knew Lazarus was a very good friend of his son's? Now, we're talking about Jesus is in the flesh. Jesus had friends. I know that comes as a surprise to you. But I'm telling you, Jesus had friends. And friends are very important. God knows that. He created us that way, that we need that friendship and that love and someone that loves us and we can love them back. Friends are important, and God thinks so too. But you see, when Jesus prayed to God, he didn't pray for the hereafter or for the before. Lord, be with my friend Lazarus, because now I know he's at home with you and everything's cool. So please just give everybody here comfort and peace. And see what I'm saying? He's praying in the before because he's dedicated himself to the fact that his friend is dead. Is that what Jesus did? No. He said, I thank you, God, because you're hearing my prayers. And that's no surprise, Father, because you always do. And I know just as well as back when we were feeding the 5,000 that there's a miracle on the way. I'm asking you for it. I don't know how you're going to do it. I just know you are. So here's the deal. Lazarus, rise up. Do you think Jesus was, holy mackerel, he really did. Do you think he did that? No, he said, Lazarus, come on out. Surprise these people, don't surprise me, because I'm not surprised. I already asked my Father for a miracle. And I know, I prayed into the future. I'm going to be satisfied with whatever he does. But I'm going to pray in the future. Father, if it's in your will, raise up Lazarus. Bring him out of that grave. What did he do? And then you need to know that it wasn't just Lazarus. Jesus had friends everywhere. And if you read your Bible, you're going to find that, especially little place called Bethany. Jesus had a lot of friends that were in Bethany. I think it's because really Bethany was more friendly to God, to Jesus' preaching than any place else. And so he felt warm and needed and wanted there. So he had special friends in Bethany. And when Jesus needed rest time away from, and none of you need that, I know, we never retreat. We're always charging straight ahead. No. We need our rest too. Jesus did too. You got to keep remembering, people, Jesus is human at this time. He is just as human as you are. So when things hurt, they hurt. When he needs time to rest, he needs time to rest. And you would find Jesus going to Bethany. Why? Because people there accepted him. They loved him. Let me ask you this. Any of you have a special friend? That one that you can go to anytime? If something goes wrong in your life, you can get on that phone and you can call them right now, and you know, without a doubt, they're going to respond. And they're not just responding, they're coming into your house and they're wrapping their arms around you and they're holding you tight in your time of need. You got one of those? Boy, if you don't, you better go looking for one. So I'm telling you, Jesus needed them. I need them. You need them. We need friends. There's scripture saying, but what happened here? Did Jesus pray into the before or the after? You see, he knew God is going to create miracles. Jesus thanked God for good friends. Do you? Do you pray for your good friends? Do you think about them in their time of need? Are you there for them? They're there for you. So, did you? Should you? Yes, you should. Jesus' word gives us a purposeful goal. In other words, something we can aim for. It's not too good to keep focusing on what happened behind, because people, we can't do anything about that. But you can do something about what's ahead. Luke 22:19, and everybody knows this one. It says, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. For this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Did you catch the middle part of that? It said he took bread and gave thanks. Do you think he was praying over just because we have some bread, we have something to eat? Is that what it was? Substance? Get it? My mouth straightened up here in a minute. But is that what he's giving thanks for? No. Well, then what is he giving thanks for? Because surely, people, he is not thanking God because he's fixing to die, that he's going to go hang on a cross, that he's going to get his body just beat to a pulp. Nobody would give thanks for that. Or would they? You see, he gave thanks for what's going to happen in the future. He knew. He said, this is going to be bad. But I'm telling you, I look forward to it. Why? Because God has chosen him to further his mission, to do what God needed done and had to be done for the salvation of all mankind. You, me, everyone in this room today, and everybody in this world. Jesus saw that. He said, I don't know, people. I don't know how I'm going to get through this part in the middle. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's going to be worse than anything you can possibly imagine. But I'm telling you, God will get me through it. And I'm going to come out the other end because I'm going to be thankful that He allowed me to be the instrument that got it all done. He brought His one and only Son. Hebrews 12:2 says, fix our eyes on Jesus for what? Fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Man, I'm telling you, if we're sitting in here and we're just thinking in human mind, how in the world can He think of that, what He's fixing to go through, as being a joy? And yet He knows, He can see further than that. Time and place and matter has no bearing on Jesus. Because you have to remember, sometimes He's talking to us in a human sense, because this is Jesus, the human being, speaking to you. And then He will be speaking in the after, and He is God the Son, the Holy Father. He gave thanks, shows that He is perfectly content with whatever it is that God wants to do. If you led me to it, He can get me through it. And He's the same way with you today. If God takes you to it, He will get you through it. He tells us in His Word, I have never given you a temptation or trial that I haven't already given you the power to get through. What a Savior we serve. You see, Jesus could see the ultimate end. He didn't see and He didn't focus on anything in the middle. He saw the ultimate end. He saw me standing there, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And He saw me all those years before, and He picked me up and He dusted me off, and He says, you're mine. I hold you in the palm of my hand. I will never let you go. People, that's a promise. You can see the ultimate end too. But let me ask you something. Back in our day, which means right now, we're living here today. Any of you ladies, or guys even for that matter, have you ever taught a VBS class, or maybe a Sunday school teacher? You see, I see a lot of heads going up and down. And I don't know if you're agreeing with me or just trying to shake the cobwebs out of your head. But if you have, and of course all of us know, but when you were in those classes, now I'm going to pick on you because I did see you shaking your head. When you were in that class, did you ever have any children in there that were they? Dennis the Menace reincarnated. Holy mackerel, if this kid doesn't even deserve a swift kick in the hiney. He is terrible. This kid will never, he'll never amount to anything. See, we all do that. How about just your children? Did you ever think, oh God, Johnny, did you do that? You'll never amount to 2 cents in this world if you could continue on that path. Did you ever have the joy of maybe one day somewhere down the road and you're in the church and there's Johnny, the kid that wasn't worth nothing. And at the end, when the pastor's standing up there saying, if you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life, you need to come forward. And Johnny doesn't even hesitate. He jumps out there and he comes forward, tears streaming down his face. He surrenders his life to God. And are you still sitting there saying, oh, God, Johnny, you're not going to amount to anything? No, because the joy and the thrill that fills your heart is unbelievable. You know why? Because you got to see the fulfillment of what was in the future. God does that once in a while. He lets us see what really could be. And when we leave God alone and let Him do His thing, oh, when you see the end, you're saying, oh my gosh, why did I ever doubt you? This is fabulous. This is beyond belief. And I had a small part in that. You let me see all of this from the beginning to the end. That's what makes it all worthwhile. Because if you only saw Billy Graham as Billy Graham, then Billy Graham's a great man. Always was. You know, I'll bet you if you went to see his mother, she wouldn't agree with you. You see, he had a goal. Hebrews 3, 3 and 4 says that just as the builder of a house has a greater honor than the house itself, for every house is built by someone, but you need to understand, people, that God is the builder of everything. Nothing is beyond His abilities. God can do anything. So, this morning, I want to tell you, you may doubt this, but God built you with a purpose. He built you with a purpose, and so there's something in the future that you are destined to do, and this is what He wants of you. He built you with a purpose. Now, question is, do you praise Him for what He destined you for? Or do you sit there and say, I don't want to be the janitor in this place. That's a nobody job. Look at me. I'm something special. I really want to be the preacher. I want to be the pastor of this place. I want everybody to look up to me and realize just how important I am. Do they do that, brother? I don't think so, do you? You see, but nevertheless, don't we all do that? Don't we? My job is not as important as yours, and so therefore, I want your job. But God says, no, I want you to do this here because I have you destined for far greater things here. But you're not going to know about them if you don't go through this here. You see, Jesus thanked God for the honor that it was to serve Him. We need to do the same thing. I was fixing to ask you, do you? But I don't want to. I want to say, you should. Because the name of this message, He did and I should. He did these things and I should. I should follow Him. I should try to be more like Jesus every day. Now, I'm a long ways from it. But that's okay. Remember that old story? I'm not perfect, but then God's not through with me yet. Praise God. You see, remember back when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember me telling you about there's a distinct difference between wants and needs? You need to remember, Jesus had wants. When he was in Gethsemane, he gave you a want. He said, Lord, if there is any way, take this cup from me. That's a want, people. God, Jesus was speaking to you in his human form. He did not want to go through what is coming. I don't blame him. My gosh, if you'd have seen or been there when he actually went through that, nobody would want to go through that. And so Jesus in his human form said, if there is any way, take this cup from me. That is a want. But he also saw God and what was coming and what would be if he did. And he looked at it as God's need. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So let me ask you today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you absolutely sure that if he were to, or better yet, if we were to walk outside today and watch the eastern skies split wide open, and here comes Jesus with all of his host of heavenly angels. This is the day, people, and then it's going to be too late. So let me ask you, do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because if you don't, you have this opportunity right now. You have a very distinct opportunity because you don't even have the excuse, I'll wait till next week when Pastor Eddie's here and then it'll be official because he's our pastor in our church. And, you know, I searched my Bible through and through, and I haven't been able to find anywhere that says you can only be saved when your pastor is at the pulpit. You see, the only person that you're interested in that's at the pulpit is Jesus himself. And he is. You know why I know he is? Because he said he would be. He promised me a long time ago when I accepted to become a pastor, because that was a genuine knockdown brawl between me and him. I kept saying I can't, and he kept saying you can. And then finally, towards the end of this big battle, I said, okay, I'll try it. If you will stand beside me. And he laughed and he said, I always told you I would. And he's never failed yet. So, we're going to have a moment of invitation. And if it's your will or your want or your need, then Pastor Eddie will be here with me and you can come talk to him, and I'll be perfectly good with that. But I don't want you to step out that door and not know Jesus, because once we step out that door and you see him coming, it's too late. We're going to have an invitation, which I don't know which is what, without him. Oh, I love that song. If you've got a decision to make, even if it's just to get things straight with him, then this is the time.